In one discourse, I think to the young Sikala, the Buddha advises against singing, dancing, and attending fairs. But fairs are fun. And song, dance can inspire. Please comment. Fearless Affairs. Fairs are fun. Us Buddhists don't like fun. Killjoys. But it's, I think one of the things with that it's, it's also associations and when you're in a, say like a public fair, where there is all this going activity going on, it's just not very settling. It's not very peaceful, and almost invariably, I mean, there's probably intoxicants happening, and when you're in association with even if you're not sort of engaging oneself, just having to be around people who aren't restrained in that way, it's agitating to the mind. It's not settling, and then I think what pops up in my mind is at the village. That's the sort of the main village of support for the international monastery. There was, over the period of time that I was the abbot, and maybe even before then, there was like, in that period of time, there was two or three village boys, young men, who were stabbed and killed in fights. And it was at the village fair. It's just what happens. And it's just, that's why it's helpful to, as part of it, in that sense. It's not always what people are seeking, what they consider fun in all sorts of different ways. Certainly there's a very skillful use of in particular of music and song throughout all cultures really. I'm mainly familiar with Thailand as a culture, so that there's many of the the folk music and festivals would be around music that Buddhist teachings would be woven through. It was entertaining. It was inspiring. It was uplifting, and that's a traditional use of song and music. It definitely has a role. But again, sometimes it's not so settling. So that it depends where you are, what you're looking for, what's resonating. I know, Reverend Hung Shur, who some of you probably know, he's a Berkeley Buddhist Monastery American disciple of Reverend Master Xuan Hua, and he was a musician as a layperson, and he was very talented. And then when he went to the monastery, and after some time getting serious about ordination, and he wanted to give up all his musical instruments, because by the in monastic rule, monks aren't allowed to play music or touch musical instruments even. So he said, I gotta give it up. I'm so defiled. I must push away. And he went to Master Hua and sort of expressed that, and I need to give that adjunct. And Reverend Master Shun Hua said, well, wait a minute. Just let it be for a while. And he said, No. I gotta give it up. And I said, I'm going to give them all away. Master Hua shook his head and said, stupid. and then he lived as a training and practicing. And I think it was about... He'd been a monk for about, I think it was probably over 25 years or so already, and he hadn't touched a musical instrument, hadn't played me. And then it was actually at one of the groups at Berkeley Buddhist Monastery that was James Perez, his group, and James, it was James's 50th birthday, and for that evening, then James played a song on his guitar, and which I don't think forms an integral part of his regular sort of teaching venue, but it was sort of, that was a special night. And one of the things that Hung Shur was there, and what he noticed was, it was a big group, it was kind of boisterous. As soon as that music started, everybody settled down and focused. So he said, maybe this could be useful. So then he started experimenting with, and of course he's been writing songs, and they're all dumb songs. And he's very talented. He's very good. So it can be used in a skillful way. But he said, Hung Shur said, you have to be really careful, because it's so easy for the sense of self to come in. And he said, because he did a recording, and normally he was he's quite aware, and he sets a very strong intention, and then went to record. They had time at the recording studio, then the sort of the backup musicians were there, and then all of a sudden, all this old memory and habit sort of came out, and then most of the session was very good, but then there were some on listening to it after, and it's not acceptable. There's the use of the voice and inflection, it's sort of reaching out and trying to hook. And if it comes from that, that's not Dhamma. That's not useful. And of course, that's much of what music is reaching out and hooking as best one can. But so there's skillful ways, and there's parameters. And so it's a very interesting reflection on use of skillful means.